What's up, y'all? Welcome to the Kickback FC. Appreciate you guys tuning into our YouTube channel. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe.
Welcome back, guys, to the Kickback FC. It's been a summer full of women's football around the globe, and the Women's AFCON in 2025 has delivered its own storylines. Today, we're breaking down the group stage and previewing the quarterfinals. I'm joined by my co-host today, my brother Muhammad, who's been locked in on this tournament. My brother, what's good with you, man? How are you?
I'm doing good, man. Thank you so much for having me on.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. This has been long overdue, man. We've been talking about this for a while.
Yeah.
So I'm happy we were able to connect and get this on the books, and just an opportunity for us to chop it up, man. Talk about some good football being played. So let's get into it, man. We were kind of talking a little bit before we started recording just about how significant this specific tournament was. You know, we talked about how, you know, the prize money is at the highest it's ever been now.
A million for the winner. And then it kind of trickles down to, I believe, 350 for the second place. And then, half a mil for second, 350 for third, and then 300 for the fourth. Right. But even if you, like, finished fourth in your group, you still get like 125k, which is way more than it has been in the past. And this is just like a policy, I believe, the CAF, the Federation of, like, African Football, has been trying to really promote and push the women's game overall on the continent, where unfortunately I believe 50% of all football federation in Africa still don't have officially run women's programs, or at least don't fund their women's divisions. So the CAF has been really trying to, like, go ahead with the trend and bringing in, like, a framework for it to be, you know, taking that next step.
Right.
For instance, making it a thing that all clubs within the continent that want to play, like, African Champions League, they all need to have women's teams that are, like, being run. So there's a lot of step and progress, but there's obviously a lot of work still left to be done. But this has been a really good step ahead.
Right, absolutely. Like you said, I mean, it's there's always room for improvement, but this is definitely a step in the right direction. And I'll tell you what, man, it's been a hell of a tournament so far already.
Yeah.
And we're only at the quarterfinals. You know, we just got past the group stage. I know last week you and I kind of touched base on, you know, I think it was right before the first group stage game, I believe. We talked about who the favorites were at the time. And here we are now at the quarterfinals. So I just want to start off by asking you, what stood out to you most from the group stage? And were there any, like, overarching, like, surprises for you at all?
Yeah, I feel like all the favorites kind of validated why they're favorites. So Zambia, Morocco, defending champions, South Africa. Mm-hmm. And then the Super Falcons of Nigeria, who were record holders of this competition. They all cruised past in their group stages. Like, nothing surprising really happened.
Right.
But overall, the main surprise, it's not a surprise. I feel like the quality has been really good.
Yeah.
Like, the overall quality of all the games, because I've tried to watch all the games, and if not, I'll just make sure I watch replays and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
I think the overall quality has been great. I think the heat has been an issue,
right?
Because some of the games being played in the times they were played, you could tell players were still adapting to the heat, and especially teams that have a lot of players coming from the cold or north in Europe, kind of adapting to the humidity and heat. I think I've enjoyed it because of the quality has been so consistent throughout the games. And all the favorites kind of showed up and kind of delivered what we were hoping they would.
Yeah.
I mean, you always hope for a surprise here and there, but it's good when the favorites are just like, nah, we actually here. We mean business.
Yeah, No, I agree, man. And I think when we talked, we said Nigeria, South Africa, and Zambia. Those were the three teams that we had talked about and said, you know, these are probably the teams that we think are the favorites going into the tournament. And like you said, man, I think that they've really shown that, like, you know, they're not going anywhere anytime soon. No. Obviously, we'll talk about this here in a little bit. One of the quarterfinals is two of the three favorites that we're talking about. So yeah, obviously that's going to be a very interesting game. But I think, yeah, man, I think for me, one of the biggest things that kind of stood out was I was very anxious and very, what should I say, looking forward to seeing Zambia play. I wanted to see Barbara Banda play in her first AFCON. I wanted to see, you know, someone of her stature, her ability, you know, her kind of, it's not really like a validate, like not that she needs to validate anything, but, you know, I think just for to win with your country as well, too. I think that says a lot. And I've just been following that country for a while, this whole tournament. We've had recently, I don't know if you saw, we interviewed Inonge. You know, my Zambian sister. So, you know, just speaking with her, she was saying that there's so many players like of that, like on that team. And, you know, of that country that have so much ability. So that's a team that I've been following. And honestly, I don't want to spoil it because we're going to do the preview like here in a little bit. But that game versus Nigeria, that's a big one.
That is the one. And we'll get into it because I actually have a funny story about that game. But we'll get into that.
I would say before we get into Nigeria – do you feel like the level of play has continued to rise compared to previous
AFCONs? Yeah, I believe that this tournament, the level was higher because of all the teams pretty much showed up in a way that if in every group you had three really good teams, and then maybe a team that's still struggling, like a Congo has like one or two really good players, but the overall team isn't really, really that good. So that kind of, you saw like flashes. And then a team like Tanzania, I felt like underperformed, but we can get into that later. So I feel like the overall level went up because if you look at Senegal was great. Congo obviously was like up and down, but like a Tunisia was great. Botswana was actually good as well. Algeria was actually really good. And then Mali surprisingly was very stable coming into the tournament. I had my doubts. But then like a Ghana who were returning back to the tournament after missing the last one really came back with like, that what happened the last tournament was a mistake. Stop playing with us. And they actually went out, and I feel like there's a good balance in most of the teams between going out and bringing back diaspora players that have roots from that country, even though maybe they were born or raised in like outside of it, and bringing them back and actually reconnecting. And then also from the last AFCON to now, it's been obviously a few years since, you have had a lot of, there's been a boom of African players going abroad and playing on the highest levels. You obviously have the rise of African players in the WNSL here in the US. You're seeing the same in Spain. You're seeing the same in like, even the Moroccan League, the South African Women's League, both leagues are actually pretty good. So, and then there's a host of African players also playing in Liga MX, which is in Mexico. So this like level on the continent going up, and then most of the stars, for instance, from Tipe Mazembe, who won like the previous Women's Champions League on the continent, most of them got bought in different, like in France, in the WNSL, in Mexico. So I think all of those players and all that talent kind of spread across raised the competition. And I think that has made it such an incredible thing to watch, because a lot of these players now have also like somewhat of an international status. They're no longer local talent.
Yeah.
Abanda, Kundananji are global superstars in the women's game.
Right.
And then you have obviously legends such as Asisato Shola. So every team kind of has one or two players that are playing at the highest level abroad, and then a few really good local talents. And when you mix that, you just get a really good overall. And then I think also a lot of the teams were just very positive. So a lot of teams really want to attack. A lot of teams enjoy the balance between, okay, we want the ball, but we also don't mind going on, sitting deep and playing counter. Yeah. So that balance between those two, so the quality, the overall quality of players going abroad and bringing back that experience, and then just like the playing philosophy from a lot of the coaches and the teams has really helped to just raise the level a bit more.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think that that's been something that I've been really, I wouldn't say surprised by, because I, you know, just following the NWSL and then just following women's football in general, whether it be Liga MX or in Europe, I mean, there's some ballers that are playing, and like, I'm not by any means surprised by like what I'm seeing.
Yeah.
It's great though that I would say the general population are now able to kind of see, what we as Africans have to offer. You know, and I think you and I actually talked about this too last week about how a lot of these players that are playing, let's take the NWSL, for example, a lot of those players that play for those teams, those fans of those teams are kind of following the tournament now.
Yes.
Because they're, you know, they're fans of these teams. So I thought that was pretty cool as well, too. All the NWSL teams that have representatives playing in the WAFCON, you know, you can see them, you know, promoting their players, getting behind their players. The league is getting behind their players as well, too, and kind of getting more eyes on the tournament. So I think that that's brilliant, man. And go ahead.
And there's a lot of scouting going on as well. Like just looking at what's been going on in a lot of like teams, you can tell a lot of WNSL teams are scouting. A lot of European teams are also now scouting at the tournament.
For sure.
And obviously, the Boston Legacy FC just announced their second player, which is Aissata Traoré, who is from Mali. So all these things are happening, and then obviously we don't even have someone like Chawinga currently. Presented, who plays for Malawi with her sister. So it's like things like that. We don't even have all the best players of the continent in the tournament, because obviously not all teams have the same resources and strength at large.
Absolutely, bro. I was going to save this question for later, but I'll ask you now since we're kind of talking about it. We saw four African teams advance in the knockout stage of last year's Women's World Cup. Are you seeing signs that the momentum is continuing to grow here? I know we just kind of touched a little bit about it just now, but seeing how they did before in the World Cup and just kind of seeing how things are going now, like, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think you can tell the difference between those teams that have been on the Olympics and the World Cup level. Mm-hmm. I think a good example, for instance, is South Africa with Dr. Ellis, who's their coach. He's been part of the South African women's game since 1996 or something. So as a player, and then came back as a coach. And she obviously led them to like their first victory in the WAFCON, but also going into, you know, the World Cup and progressing to the round of 16. I think what we're seeing is that those teams that have reached that level and have played against opposition that good, is that they're more patient in the way they approach games. Yeah. They don't panic. They've they understand the flow of like these games that can be stressful. Yeah. Looking at that opener between Zambia and Morocco, that level was so high. Like I enjoyed, that was probably one of the games the entire season, men or women's game, that I've enjoyed the most, because just of like, you could tell there was no, this is the opening game, let us sit back and relax and then try and like see what the other teams are. No, no, no. We know we have a philosophy and we're going to push it. So I think those teams are just showing a bit more maturity, but they also have the benefit of, I believe, a team like Morocco in the last 6 years, their federation has spent around $30 million on the women's development. And you see that. You see what they're able to do, how they're able, they have like a very clear identity on how they play, how they express themselves. Whilst I feel like other teams that have not been to that stage yet usually rely on a lot of hard work and maybe one or two players that can spark that, like, you know, like that magic.
Yeah.
But like Morocco is very much balanced, plays the game, and they rely on certain players, obviously, like every team does. But there's a very clear pattern in how they want to play, and they have the quality to play it. So I think the level has gone up for those like four teams, being Morocco, South Africa, Zambia, Nigeria, and they show it in all the games. They did not have any issues with any team they've played in this tournament.
Yeah.
Whenever they had to like turn it up a notch. For instance, South Africa in the last game, they were like, oh, we need to win to be first. Oh, here you go, Mali, 4-0.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think you feel that. There's like just this finesse on like another level. And I think in the past, for instance, when you look at men or women's World Cups and things like that, African teams used to be very positive in the way they played.
Yeah,
And sometimes that was really not good, because then they got beat like badly, not because they were bad teams, but it's like
Did
not understand that finesse of like tactical approach to games, and you always want to attack. And now they're just like, nah, if we need to keep the ball and just figure it out, we will do that. Not every possession needs to lead up to a goal, and I think that's the difference you see between those teams.
Yeah, no, absolutely, man. That. You made a great point, and I agree. That first game, Morocco versus Zambia, I mean, even from just the way it started, bro, like you couldn't have scripted it any better, man. Like Barbara Banda scores within a minute of, like, you know,
getting
goosebumps even thinking about it. It was like, wow, like, I don't know, like just watching that first minute, you're like,
oh,
they're about to steamroll them. And then for the game to end the way it did, it was like, wow.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, you made a great point. I think Morocco has invested so much in their football federation. Both, I know we're talking about women's, but men and women.
Men as well, yeah.
Yeah, men's as well too. So like, it's been really great to see, especially that first game, man. You couldn't have asked for a better first game to kind of kick off the tournament. So
that script, bro. That script.
So. I would say, we kind of talked about this a little bit. But between Zambia and Morocco, because we'll get to Nigeria here in a second, what impressed you most about those two?
I was honestly nervous for Zambia, because they got a new coach in January, and they have been consistently having issues with training camps that were like late. Players that played in WNSL not being able to join for the tournament they had in China. And then in the last like Three Nations tournament with Botswana and South Africa, they did not look good at all. And just like having a new coach and all these things. So I was a bit scared for them in that first game. Because Morocco in like, May was already in kind of in training camp. You were seeing all these social media high definition clips of them training. I was like, oh, Zambia better be ready for this. Morocco is really getting ready.
Yeah.
But I think then Banda, it's like the Banda Nanji, like I call it, like that Kunda Nanji Banda connection. It's just like, I think what the coach has been able to do is stabilize the team somewhat out of possession. So their defensive scheme is better. They don't press as they used to in previous like setups. They've kind of went into like a mid-block press. Even though Kunda Nanji and Banda are like probably the two hardest working strikers in football. And if you think Dembele and them press till you see Banda press your back four. So I think adapting to like playing a lower line and not leaving a lot of space, and then allowing for Banda and Kunda Nanji to just do their thing. But also I think Grace Chanda has been someone who has been able to calm things down in the middle. And then they have an outlet with Prisca Chilufya, who is still settling in the WNSL. But there was like this control she took in the last game. And I was like, yo, that was a first time control into space. And then she just sprinted past the defender as if she was standing. And I was like, yo. But it's like things like that all clicking at the right moment. I think that has allowed them to just be that good. I think Morocco overall is just a team on and off the ball. They've been solid. Even though I think they conceded four goals in the group stage. Obviously, two of those coming from Zambia. Yeah. But I think what Morocco has is... So you have a good striker. You have a Hislen Chebec who arrives late in the box, can score from out the box. Basically, give her the ball anywhere close enough to the box. You'll find a way to put it away.
Yeah.
And then there are two wingers. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, bro.
So you have on the right, on the left, you have Fatma Tahnout, who's one of the best players on the African continent and plays for AS FAR Rabat. So she's basically playing a home tournament in every sense of the word. And then on the right, you have Sekena Diki, who, by the way, of Belgium and Spain, is now representing Morocco. So you have two very techie wingers who don't mind defending, but also have the stamina to, in every 1v1 situation, will exploit that. And then I think stabilizing the team has been Rabat, who in previous setups has been used as a center back, but naturally is a defensive mid. She's been put back in that defensive mid position, and she's been able to stabilize that midfield so much better that it has allowed for everyone else around her to just do their thing. So I think that's what makes those two teams so well balanced and good. The only issue with, for instance, Zambia would be that 100% of their goals and assists basically have come from Banda or Kunda
Nanji. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and in the last time, for instance, they played South Africa, their game plan was literally drop deep when needed, press high to disrupt Zambia's buildup, make sure when you lose the ball doesn't go to Banda or Kunda Nanji, we're good. They end up winning that game 2-0. So I think better teams are going to identify how to potentially put Banda and Kunda Nanji in awkward positions and spaces for them not to be as effective.
Yeah.
But then again, Banda doesn't care about going. If she's alone, three defenders, she'll take them on.
Yeah.
If they're two defenders, 9 out of 10, that's a goal. If it's a 1v1, see you later. Go get the ball out of it. So...
No, I agree. I think that, and I mean, like you said, bro, I think that Zambia has, like Prisha, you know, you have players that are heating up as well, too. And I'm looking forward to seeing her, because like you said, I feel like she's still trying to settle in. In the league as well, too.
But
I think that, bro, when she gets comfortable and when she gets, you know, on and running, especially, you know, here in America, you know, we have the playoffs. I think that that's when, that's what I'm anticipating. You know, she's going to kick on and
really get into it.
yeah, like what she can do. And Grace Tonda as well too, bro. She's been balling. Yeah, bro. So let's talk about Nigeria real quick, man. So they came in as their favorites, you know, Mission 10, right? They want to get that 10th WAFCON. I'll be honest with you, man. They came in as the favorites, but I don't think that they've been the best team so far. And I'm not saying by any means that they haven't been playing well, but I think with the – and I guess that's a sign of a good team, right? Even when you're not playing well, when you're not, you know, I guess like playing well is all objective, right? You know, as long as you win in the tournament and you make it through, that's what's playing well for some people. But kind of what are your thoughts on them, man? Like they topped the group, but they weren't exactly dominant. How would you grade their performance so far?
I think a solid 8, because defensively they did not concede the entire group stage. And I feel like their first 2 games, they kind of took as like training sessions in a way. It's awkward to say, but I did not feel like they were kicking into another gear.
Right.
It kind of felt very much comfortable. They never were sweating about the opponent, which is a good thing because it means they're very mature. They know how to control games. It's like, you know, like Italy in tournaments.
Yeah, exactly.
Like Germany, Italy in tournaments. You're like, bro, they're not really playing.
Yeah.
Nothing flashy is happening yet.
Yeah.
But they're winning and they're in the quarterfinals. Yo.
Yeah, quietly.
Quietly. And I feel like that's the thing. And as you know, as like, you know, shiny and you know, giant that Nigerians can be, I feel like this team has very much been cruising and they've not really been tested yet. And I think there are some kinks in the team that I'm seeing. I feel like, for instance, the game against Algeria was an interesting game because both teams basically were like, you okay if we draw, right? Yeah, bet. Let's go. And then in that second game against Botswana, they had to go like 90th minute, I believe, is when Nigeria scored.
Yeah.
But even then, I did not see them kick into like another gear. So I'm not sure if there's another gear there they're going to get or if this is like, this is just a stable, safe way they're going to be playing. I'm a bit worried about how much they're producing in terms of chances and how much you're scoring out of those chances. Because there's a lot, I don't know, something is not clicking yet for me when I watch them. I feel like they have a great back line. They have the best goalkeeper in Africa and one of the best goalkeepers in the world, in Nadozie. And then someone like Rashida Ajibade has been great in dictating and in creating chances. But I feel like there's just something on the wings is not working for me. And they have not had a player yet that I'm like, yo, every time she has the ball, something is about to happen. They've been very, it's weird. So I don't know if they're going to slowly sneak into the final like Italy were doing tournaments. So I don't know if that's what's about to happen or because I believe they're in the bracket side with South Africa and Zambia.
Yeah.
So I'm like, if you play Zambia next and if you beat them, South Africa is probably going to be waiting for you. And they also actually have a pretty solid team.
Yeah.
So, but we'll see. I feel like defensively, they're really strong. They have Alozie and Ashley Plumtree on the back positions who are very reliable both offensively and defensively. Their center back pairing every now and then. I'm like, ooh, but not enough to really stress because you have a goalkeeper that's actually going to save your ass every time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think Nigeria for me and the Mission X story is currently a solid 8 because of defensively they've just been stable, and offensively they've gotten the goals when they needed them. And I think that's a sign of a team that's very mature, that knows how to defend and knows when to get goals if necessary. So I think we'll see how that plays out when they play opposition that will trouble them defensively, because Zambia is going to trouble you defensively.
100%, bro. I was just going to say that too. Like, it's a, we haven't gotten there yet, but it's a clash of two completely different styles. And especially with what Nigeria has shown so far, like you said, I mean, they haven't been bad by any means.
No. Yeah.
Because, like, I mean, in these tournaments, it's all about winning your games, getting to the next round, making it to the next round. Can we get to the final? So, but that side of the bracket, like you said, is pretty stacked.
It's 3 of the 4 favorites.
Yeah. So before we get into the knockout rounds, I wanted to hit you with some quick fire questions real quick. So best player of the tournament so far?
It's Shebeck and Banda, because I feel like they've both scored important goals in the right moments.
Okay. Most surprising team of the group stage?
Algeria. They only scored one goal, but did not lose and did not concede.
Yeah, say less. Most disappointing team?
I don't know if there's a disappointing team, honestly. But I feel very devastated for Tunisia, like the way they went out.
Yeah,
it was so devastating.
It was tough.
I was like, damn, bro.
It was tough.
Yeah.
Manager of the tournament so far?
That's a tough one. Because I low-key want to give it to... I think Ghana's new coach has been really good.
Mm-hmm.
Algeria's new coach was also really good, but I think I'm gonna give it to South Africa's coach, Dr. Ellis, because she coming in as a defending champs, 9 players from the previous squad not being here, still the level they've shown, I think that just shows quality. But definitely shout out to Ghana's and Algerian coaches as well.
Fair. Best goal so far?
Oof, there have been some cool ones.
There's been some good ones, bro.
I mean, first off, the Banda goal, first goal of the tournament.
First goal of the tournament, yeah.
58 seconds in, dribbles towards 4 defenders, drifts wide, finds the corner, bang.
She's running like towards them too, like you said earlier. It's not like she's running away from them. It's
she's like, oh, 4 of you, all right, let's go.
Yeah.
But I think, Mama Diouf's goal from Senegal, their goal against Congo.
Congo.
It's a lob from outside the box, but like the ball bounces in front of her. She doesn't even look at the goalkeeper. She just lobs it over the goalkeeper.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yo, how? The technique on that was so good. And then I think maybe Ghislaine Shebeck's, like, the 1-1 volley she scored against Congo.
Yeah,
that was just pure technique. Like, the ball is dropping and her... Phew, the angle on the shot, like, if you've played ball, you know how hard it is to hit those.
It's not easy.
Especially because you could, like...
Yeah, completely just sky it, yeah.
Sky it. I think those are, like, the goals for me that have really stood out in terms of quality. There have been a lot of great goals, but I think those are, like, for me, the best goals.
Nah, for sure, bro. A lot of good goals. A lot of decisive goals, too.
Yes.
Breakout star to watch in the quarterfinals?
I would say I honestly would go Inès Belmou. She's an Algerian left back. And she has it all, like overlapping, underlapping, fantastic left foot. Yeah. I'm hoping Algeria gets a free kick in her range so that she can show just what she can do with that left foot. Yeah,
for sure. Absolutely. Yeah. And like you said, I mean, there's a ton of players that I feel like are going to be scouted from this tournament.
Yeah.
So, yeah, she's definitely someone that – I mean, obviously, the NWSL is closer to us. So, I don't know. I'm biased in saying, like, I would love for her to –
She was playing for Bayern, then was brought to West Ham. I think she was on loan at Malmö this year, where she ended the season with like an amazing free kick as a goodbye.
Yeah.
So I think she's joining West Ham again, but I don't know what the plans are there for her. I think in terms of the WNSL might be like a competition that's just like a bit too fast for her.
Okay.
Like technically, she's fine. A hybrid between Shaqawi and Marcelo Vieira, from former Real Madrid player. Like she's just a hybrid between those two, but I don't feel like she has the physical volume that you would need to like actually be as effective in the WNSL.
Yeah.
But I think if a team is willing to bet on like, hey, we'll bring you in and then we'll get you up to speed physically because you already have all the technique and IQ, I think she would definitely be a player that I would want to scout.
100%. Okay. Which team has looked the most complete heading into the knockout rounds?
Morocco.
Yeah, I would say Morocco.
Yeah.
I was really impressed by that first game, man. I'm not going to lie to you. I was really impressed.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I would say just from the front. In the front, they can score goals. They're not going to give up goals as well, too. They're well coached. Like you said earlier, I mean, it's a very organized team. So I just don't see – especially in tournaments, like that's what you need. You know what I'm saying? Like you need that stability, and I think that they got that. So, that's a great shout. Favorite moment of the tournament so far? I think we already touched on this, but why not?
Honestly, I think it's been all the images of watching in the stadium. I think I've really been I just love watching people engage with the women's game because it deserves the respect. And watching people just go to games and show up. That has been my favorite moment off the court. On the court, I think the Senegal-Congo game, that 4-0 for me was an amazing game. And like both Senegalese strikers scoring a brace was also an amazing one. So I think that was like my favorite, like aside from like Zambia's game, Zambia-Morocco, which was obviously the best game of the tournament so far. I think that Senegal performance against Congo is really a solid one.
Okay. If you had to bet on – well, nah, let's wait on that because we got to get into the quarterfinal previews. I was going to ask you, if you had to bet on one team, who would you pick? But let's wait. That can be the last question. So – let's get into it, bro. First game. Let's not hide around it. Let's not beat around the bush. Nigeria versus Zambia. These teams actually met in the third place game last time around. What's changed since then? I know we talked about the going into the tournament, you know, the high octane, the high powered offense Zambia has, the defensive, I guess, prowess and stability that Nigeria has shown, two completely
polar opposites.
Polar opposites of play. Nigeria, but like we were talking about earlier, bro, I just feel as if like Nigeria, I don't think we've seen, you know, really like them really kick on. But then again, like, I guess, you know, I've been watching football for a while now. There have been a lot of, I guess, tournaments where I've went into a tournament saying, oh, no, you know, this team is really going to kick on, and then they don't. And then it's like, oh, no, this was just actually just
stuck in a gear.
Yeah. So, yeah, let's talk about it, man. Nigeria versus Zambia, who you got?
I'm going to go for Zambia. I want to say Zambia will upset because the big difference between 2022 when they played, Zambia did not have Bamba.
They didn't.
And I don't think the Nigerian defense has faced anyone with not her. With no. And so if they were, they would, obviously that third place game was a bit, for Nigeria, it was a game played in disappointment. And right. For Zambia, it was a historic game. They were going to, like, finishing third is a historic feat. Finishing fourth was also a historic feat. And for Nigeria, not winning was already no. So playing a third place game was just, like, very disappointing. And you could tell they were very much affected by that. But before the tournament, I had an interview with Rachel Kundananji, who was hoping that this game was going to be the final. So I know Zambians are so, so ready for this game. If there's a game that Zambians wanted to play, this is the game. So I hope they match. Nigeria obviously is going to match that energy. But I don't know if they can match. I think overall, team-wise, Nigeria has the better team.
Mm-hmm.
As a cohesive team from front to back. But Zambia has the best attacking duo potentially in the women's game.
Yeah.
I think there are not a lot of duos that you can pick that I'm like, I would take them, I'll pick them over Banda and Kunananji. There are not a lot of them. So I'm like, playing those two is gonna be a hard day of work.
I blocked off my calendar at work. 12 o'clock on Friday. I'll see y'all on Monday. There's actually two games though. They're back to back. So you know, Nigeria, Zambia, they play at 12, and then Morocco and Mali play at 3. So.
Later,
I want to echo your sentiments, man. I'm gonna side with Zambia. I just don't think that. I don't know, and I could be wrong. Like we said, like
Nigeria could literally kick into another gear.
Yeah, 100%, and they could kick on, and they could really, you know, show that, like, you know, we've been running this tournament for a reason.
Yeah.
But I'm gonna side with Zambia. If you were to guess two goal score, if you were to guess the score, what would you guess? I'm gonna guess 2-1. I would say goal from Banda. I don't know where the second goal is going to come from. I think Prisha will get us a goal or assist, though.
Yeah. I'm thinking it's a weird feeling that I have. It's going to be a 3-2 game for one of the teams. I don't know who, but it's either 3-2 Nigeria or 3-2 Zambia. Because Zambia and keeping a lead is that team has stressed me so much.
They gotta put up 2-1 may be ambitious. I think that they can do it, but they need to put up 3 or 4.
Zambia needs 3 to 4 goals to win the game. That's definitely the fact. And then I think we're gonna see Kundananji. I know that's the game she's looking forward to. Right. And if she's looking forward to it, I know Banda is also looking forward to the game. I think, and Nigeria just has like players, a few different players who can score. I think Banda and Kundananji score for Zambia. And then Rashida Ajibade will score for Nigeria. And then maybe someone else that we're not expecting. would rise up to that occasion. Yeah, I think that, but it's a very, like we were saying, lopsided game in terms of it's potentially the best attack of the tournament against the best defense of the tournament.
Right. And it just came to me too, like I was just thinking, I think Zambia needs to score early for them to really get confidence and like just a little bit of, because I feel like the longer it stays 0-0, 1-1, I think that it starts to creep over into Nigeria's favor. Because I just feel like they have the experience and like, I don't know, that's the only thing, I guess, as a,
somebody
who picked Zambia, that's the one thing that I'd be kind of, I guess, nervous about.
The longer it goes. Yeah. That's a good point. And funny enough, I think what might happen is, let's say the game 70th minute, 80th minute, it's 1-1, 2-2, whatever. Nigeria start making changes. I think if Nigeria makes any change to their starting back four, Banda Ikuna and Naji are going to run riot.
Yeah.
I know Plumtree and Alozie kind of can contain Banda and Ikuna and Naji, kind of in the sense that they're experienced and they're good, and they also have speed.
Yeah.
But no one on that bench coming in is going to hold up against those two. So I think Nigeria, funny enough, I think Nigeria will also want to control the game either by scoring and protecting or keeping it 0-0 as long as possible, because I think there's not a lot of depth on Zambia's bench, whilst Nigeria can actually pull some depth, especially in midfield and up top from their bench. So I think the longer the game goes, indeed, it would be in the favor of Nigeria. But if Nigeria has to make any defensive subs, I think that's something that Zambia can then exploit.
I agree, bro. It's going to be a hell of a game, man. So, yeah, we'll see.
Yeah.
Second game of the day on Friday is going to be Morocco versus Mali. Like we were talking about earlier, man, I was really impressed with Mali, what they showed in the group stage. I think it's extremely unlucky to draw Morocco. But who you got in this one?
Yeah, I have to go to Morocco. As funny enough, someone with Malian descent. Sorry, great granddad. I got to go with Morocco with this one. It's just like overall the better team has more quality. And they're playing at home. It's going to be a full stadium.
Yeah.
It's a Friday night. No one needs to go to work. All the moms and pops are all going to be in here at the game.
I didn't even think about that. It's Friday night over there. But it's about to be turned.
Oh, God. Yeah.
And you know what? You said this before, but it's a good point. It's worth bringing back up. Just the support and the love the tournament has gotten has been really, you know, spectacular to see. You know, specifically, I love seeing, especially Africans, bro. I love seeing Africans come together and, you know, really, you know, kind of get behind something, especially when it comes to women's football, bro. I was having this conversation with someone. There was someone who, it was the Bay FC owner, one of the Bay FC owners, Leslie Osborne. She had posted something on Instagram just talking about how it was like a side-by-side kind of like picture of like fans going to go support like a men's Euros game and then fans going to go support like a women's Euros game. And just like the difference in just like the vibe, you know what I'm saying? It's like on the men's side, it's like these hooligans. It's like, you know, we're doing this and it's like, on the women's side, man, you have like fans like walking side by side to one another, and it's like it's a whole different like
Different mindset. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, you're putting the product and the players at the center of like why you're going. You know, I think sometimes as fans, especially supporters, people who support like men's teams, it's like you're kind of going there on some different
Like, yeah, it can be on some different vibes, bro.
Yeah. Okay, so those are the games on Friday. Let's go to Saturday. Algeria versus Ghana. Who you got?
Oof. I love the Algerian team for many reasons, but the thing about this Ghana team, at least that I've really so Ghana has this player, Chantel or Shaney, boy. She plays for, I believe, the London City Lionesses that just got promoted to the first division, the WSL there.
Yeah.
And man, what a baller.
Yeah.
Like, I think just because I had seen like clips here and there from the London City Lionesses because of like during their promotion run and whatnot.
Yeah.
And I knew she was like an influential player in that squad. But then when this tournament started, like I've been paying attention to her specifically during the Ghana games. And she just has like that. It's like, just think about a player that's everywhere, running in all the channels, connecting everyone, looking for a goal, but also looking to put other people on. I think Ghana just showed in the game against Tanzania that they have more to give. They have, I think Algeria in a weird way is a team that can shut you down. They can defensively really shut you down, but they've not shown, like I said, they have only scored one goal this tournament.
Yeah.
But they've also not conceded. So it kind of tells me they can shut teams down, but they don't know how to overpower teams. They don't know how to get goals. They don't know how to. And I think at the end of the day, in a WAFCON setting and playing a team like Ghana, who has that energy, that technique, that experience, and a lot of the Algerian team are players who are just playing their first WAFCON as well. And mind you, these are all players like their captain, like Sofia Galletti, who are amazing players who have amazing track records. But I think your first quarterfinal at the WAFCON as a nation, it's just very emotional. And I think either you rise and match that energy, or you're going to meet a determined Ghanaian team that's just there to like prove once again that they are one of the African powerhouses originally in the women's game. And they do have players to dismantle teams. So I'm torn here. I think like my footballing brain is saying Ghana, but a team like Algeria, who's so good at keeping score low, might just need one goal. Algeria scores one, game over, just close the books.
You only need one. Defend. You only need one.
Yeah, so I'm going to go Ghana with the reservation, with a huge reservation, but I'm going to go Ghana because I just feel like they've shown that they can really overpower teams and then they can get a couple of goals.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like that. One of my co-hosts is Ghanaian, so just for banter's sake, I'm just going to side with Algeria. We have a saying, man, because you know the Ghana, the men's team, man, they've been struggling. Yeah,
they on some. They on some.
We always say, "What are you gonna do?"
That's a good question.
Yeah, what are you gonna do? South Africa versus Senegal, man. Last one.
I think that's gonna be the. I don't want to jinx it. I think it's gonna be the one of the best games. It's going to be like a free-flowing, high-scoring game because both teams love to attack. And actually, there are two – obviously, you have like the two strikers in Ndai and Mamat Diouf, who obviously have scored the goals and have been very much, you know, running the show and catching all the attention. But I believe Senegal has like some really cool players that I'm like, ooh, I actually want to see what they can do in that space. But I believe South Africa will win. But yeah, Senegal is just a fun team to watch. Like,
yeah,
they play the game to win. They don't sit back. They don't like, they're fun. They always give, like, even when they played Zambia and Morocco and lost, they still had good games.
Yeah.
So I think it's going to be, yeah, I think South Africa just has the edge because they're defending champions and they have all this, like, quality. And I think one of the Senegalese players that I've been hoping, you know, would maybe do something more in our Diakite, who plays for Marseille. She's been like, I don't know. She's not, not having a good tournament at all.
I don't want to cut you off. Would you say she's not having a good tournament, or would you just say she kind of just like camouflages, blends in with everybody? Like, she's not. Like,
she's not standing out. Yeah, she's not being the main character in the team that I thought she was going to be the main character.
Right.
Basically.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I asked that question just because, and that's the one thing that's what I love about AFCON in general, this WAFCON as well, too, just how, you know, like, obviously you have the players that are world-renowned names, but I feel like the level is so high that it's like, I don't know. Sometimes it's like, yeah, we know what you're doing over there, but like when you come here, like it's a different ball game here. Like, you feel like you're battling against so many different things than just the players. Obviously, like Banda, Kundananji, we could go down the list of like players that are, you know what I'm saying? But it's like, man, the level of all across the board, I feel like, has been fairly even. But to your point, she's definitely someone that going into this tournament, you know.
Yeah, you expect a bit more, yeah.
Yeah. But her team is, you know, in the quarterfinals. So this may be unpopular, man. I'm actually going to go with the upset here. I'm actually
going to go with
the upset here. Yeah, man. I have a feeling, man. I know. I don't know. Would you say David versus Goliath? I don't know. I have a feeling, man, like that. It's I don't know. Everything should go South Africa's way. I don't know. Every time I've watched Senegal this tournament, I've been impressed, and I've been like, you know, this is a team that, you know, I wanted to see in these positions in the quarterfinals, and here they are. So I'm gonna side with them.
Yeah, and I mean, it's one of those where I don't feel like it's going to be such a straight, because South Africa lost to Morocco just 1-0. They lost 3-2 to Zambia. So it's not like when they play better opposition, they get like, you know,
right,
take a full walk or anything. And even in that last game, so give you two more players that I've been finding so interesting, and they're both on the Senegalese team. Mm-hmm. Their defensive midfielder, Meta Kande.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just watch her. Like, actually, I didn't pay attention to her. And then their number four center back, 17 years old, I think those are like two players that will be so important for that team. But also, if I'm a scout, especially Meta Kande, if I'm a WNSL scout, I'm getting her. Is it a trial? Is it whatever? I'm getting her today. She has a Kante engine. She has like a Kante engine, and she's everywhere on the field, doesn't hold back. And she was, I think, suspended the last game, so she's going to be fully rested for this game.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm like, this is one of the games I really, really look forward to, because I just know how eager Senegal is probably to prove that they can do this. But up still, you're playing the defending champs, so you have to respect that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they have nothing to lose.
Yeah.
Like, absolutely. I was trying to look up where she played. I forgot where she played. But no, that's a good round, man. Quarterfinals should be interesting. Like I said, one bracket is stacked on one side. I don't know, man. Obviously, two of the three teams, like we said, you know, of the favorites are playing each other. So one of them will be eliminated, unfortunately. But I wouldn't be surprised if two of them were eliminated, bro. I'm really impressed with this tournament. From start to where we are now. I haven't been able to watch every game, but I've been able to watch most of the games. I think there's been like three or four games in the group stages that I haven't watched. I mean, watching it here on BN Sports, they do a good job of like replaying all the games as well too. So, good analysis, bro. I really appreciate your insight. Before we go, so your prediction on who wins it all? We could just come back next week and
talk. Let's. I think I want to see teams in quarterfinals. I think it's always premature after group stages to say who's gonna win it all.
Yeah,
but I think after quarterfinals we should kind of have an indication. Okay. But so far, I think all the favorites have shown that why they're favorites. So going into those games, we'll see.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's fair. No, we'll get together again and we'll talk semifinals. And then going into the finals as well too, bro. But Mohammed, thank you, bro. It's been a pleasure. Yeah. A lot of fun. I'm glad we were able to get this on the books and get this done. But what a tournament, bro. What a tournament. I know it's not AFCON, but have you watched any Euros at all?
Yeah, I've been watching the Euro, like, not as much, like, because people were asking me about it, and I was like, yeah, I feel like the Euros, the women Euros, has been covered the most I've ever seen them covered.
Right.
So I did not feel like, from like a, just like a reporting perspective, right, I did not feel compelled to like work on it because I felt like there was so much coverage for it. So my attention has been fully on like WAFCON and that, because I feel like that's a space where there was not enough attention. I mean, like, people have mentioned it, and I feel like the WNSL teams have been doing a great job of like promoting their players.
Yeah.
I've loved it. The games I've seen have been amazing. The France Holland game was amazing.
Yeah, it was.
I've been checking out the games that I was like, ooh, I want to see this.
Yeah.
And then Norway never disappoints to disappoint.
Yeah.
I was like, bro.
That's a fact, bro. You talk about, oh boy. Oh yeah. Boy.
Having a great team and then every time finding a way to disappoint yourselves.
That's
what that's gonna be. I mean, for me, in that, Spain is clear favorite.
Right.
But I'm looking forward to the England Sweden game actually.
Yeah.
That is tomorrow. Well, the 17th.
Yeah.
So tomorrow, like 3 p.m.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely, man. It's a lot of great soccer.
And then the women's South American Cup is also
started
the other day.
Yeah.
But I think I'm probably going to watch once it gets into like the quarterfinals or semifinals there as well. Because it's just like, still got to work.
Absolutely. Man, we good stuff. Thank you again, man. I really appreciate your time. Thank you for joining me. And, you know, next time, I know the fellas will hopefully be back. I know one of them will be back. We'll have to get together and, you know, talk semifinals, man, because they've been following the tournament as well too. So
dope.
Thank you again, Mohammed. Let's get after it, man.
Yeah,
and until then, peace out.